There are three portions of Scripture that I want to read, three texts of Scripture that I want to read tonight. The first one is found in Job chapter 36. And then the second one is found in Proverbs chapter 27. And then the third one is found in Proverbs chapter 29. As I announced this morning, I want to preach on the subject tonight of the Titanic, the unsinkable ship. And we want to look at some of the spiritual lessons that we can draw from this sad incident which happened 100 years ago. But let's read God's word first of all, and let's read these three texts of Scripture. Job chapter 36 and verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And then Proverbs 27 verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And then Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of these texts of Scripture to our hearts tonight. Let's bow just in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this subject and his word tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the warnings that we have in the Bible. And we pray tonight, Lord, as we turn to thy word, that you would come, Lord, and speak to hearts. Even, Lord, as we draw lessons from a part of our history, we pray, Lord, that you would apply those lessons to our hearts and souls this evening. O God, we pray tonight for those here who are still unsaved. We pray, Lord, that you'll save them. And even those of us who are saved, Lord, help us to realize that time is short to serve thee. The night cometh when no man can work. Help us, Lord, in these days to be up and doing. Help us, Lord, not to be drawn into bypath meadows. Help us, Lord, in these days not to allow our minds to be attracted to other things, but, O God, that we might focus on seeking to point men to Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, bless us now, we pray thee. We ask thee, O God, especially for those in the meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. O God, speak to their hearts. And to thee, Lord, we will give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honour. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. On the 31st of May, 1911, the great ocean liner Titanic was launched in Belfast Lough by Harland and Wolff. Titanic took almost 3 years to build, and in its day, it was the biggest and fastest ship that was ever built. The Titanic was 882 feet long. If tipped upright, she was taller than any of the buildings in her day, roughly 72 stories high. She had 9 decks, 4 huge funnels. Each funnel was large enough to drive 2 parallel trains through. During her construction, over 3 million rivets were hammered into her hull. Her largest anchor weighed 15.5 tons and was pulled to the ship by a team of 20 horses. When Titanic set sail on her maiden voyage on April the 10th, 1912, she carried enough food to feed a small town for several months. There was over 60 ton of fresh meat on her when she set sail that day. 40,000 eggs and 1,000 bottles of wine. The Titanic was believed to be unsinkable. She was called the Wonder Ship. And if we could have been there that day and saw that sight, we would have wondered as well, because it was a tremendous vessel indeed. When it set sail for New York on its maiden voyage, there were 2,228 passengers and crew on board. 337 first-class passengers, 285 second-class passengers, 721 third-class passengers, and 885 crew members. After the Titanic struck the iceberg, it took it only 3 hours and 40 minutes to sink. The ship struck the iceberg on Sunday the 14th of April at 11:40 p.m. in late evening, and it sunk on Monday, April the 15th at 2:20 a.m. early in the morning. Of the 2,228 passengers and crew on board, only some 500 or 705 passengers and crew survived. So, this great ship that took almost 3 years to build just took over 3 hours to sink. There's no doubt that the Titanic is a wonderful part of our history here in Northern Ireland. It was undoubtedly the greatest ship that was ever built in its day, and the Ulster men who built her no doubt took great pride in that. But the sad fact is this, that when we talk about the Titanic today, we don't remember her being built, we remember her sinking. If the Titanic had never sunk, then we probably would never have thought very much about her. But the tragedy is this, because of the way she went down, we remember her today. And of course, if you talk to anyone about the Titanic, they'll all tell you that was the ship that was supposed to be unsinkable. And that was the ship that was sunk on its maiden voyage. Very simply tonight, I want to draw your attention to the sinking of the Titanic, and I want us to consider some spiritual lessons that we can learn from this tragedy. And I pray tonight that if you're here and you're not saved, that the Lord will speak to your heart, because there are indeed valuable lessons to be learnt from this story, from our history. The first thing I want you to notice is this, that the captain of the Titanic, and he was a man by the name of Captain Edward Smith, but the captain of the Titanic acted as though the Titanic was indestructible. Captain Smith said of the Titanic that even if the vessel had been cut in half, that each half would remain afloat indefinitely. He went on to say that even if the engines and boilers of the Titanic were to fall through the bottom of the ship, that the ship would remain afloat. Now that was a silly thing to say. That was folly from a man who had been a captain for 40 years. He had 40 years experience. For him to say that was folly. Survivors would later recall that Captain Smith's remarks confirmed their belief in the safety of the ship. And of course, not only did Captain Smith say silly things about the Titanic, but even those who built her also said silly things about the ship. They of course said that she was unsinkable, that it was incapable of the Titanic to sink. And of course, as we all know now, they were all wrong. What is the spiritual lesson here? Well, very simply, it's this. Just as Captain Smith foolishly believed that the Titanic was indestructible and unsinkable, so many sinners today believe the same concerning their souls. Many live as if they will never meet with death. Many live as if there is no day of judgment. Many live as if there is no place called hell. But of course the Bible clearly teaches that death is coming, that judgment is nigh, and that hell is a reality of all who die without Christ. Yet many live as though these things will never, never happen. And just as Captain Smith was convinced, he certainly convinced himself, and he convinced many of those who were the passengers that day as they boarded the Titanic, that she was unsinkable. So men today try to convince themselves that they are unsinkable, that their souls are indestructible, and that there is no judgment to come, and that there is no reality as far as the great eternity is concerned. And yet the Bible clearly teaches that each and every man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says, God hath prepared a day in the which he will judge the world. And indeed, the Bible emphasizes this truth in Revelation chapter 20 when it speaks about the great white throne judgment. The Bible tells us that every one of us will give an account of himself to God. My friend, I wonder, as we are gathered here tonight in God's house, in this service, how is it with your soul? Or do you live life as if you have no soul? Do you live life as if your soul is indestructible? Do you live life as if there is no eternity ahead? You don't seem to recognize the danger that is ahead. Of course, that was the attitude of the captain of the Titanic, those who built her, and many of the passengers on board. And of course, the passengers, as we have said, had that belief in the Titanic because of the words of the captain and others. But it was a foolish notion. And the words that they spoke were totally wrong, because as the days went on, when the Titanic set sail, eventually she was going to end up in the bottom of the ocean. She was going to strike the iceberg, and that was going to be the fatal blow that was eventually going to bring the great ship, the unsinkable ship, to the bottom of the ocean. My friend, you need to think about eternity, and you need to think about where your soul is going to spend eternity. You're not invincible. You're not indestructible. And sooner or later, you will die, and sooner or later you will meet God, and sooner or later you will enter into this day of judgment. You have a soul that needs to be saved. And of course, we often sing that little chorus to the children, and rightly so, you have a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved in your heart and your mind while you're young. Oh, how awful the cost if your soul should be lost, and in hell if you die as you are. Don't think that you're indestructible, and don't think that you're invincible. But come to Christ tonight. Recognize that someday you will stand before your Creator. And my friend, before you stand before your Creator, you need to be prepared for that great day. And the Bible exhorts us, indeed commands us, prepare to meet thy God. And that's why it is so important for you and I to prepare to meet God. Now we live in an age today, this 21st century, and the majority of people in this world, they don't believe that there's a God. They don't believe that there's judgment to come. As far as the Bible is concerned, it's a closed book. They don't accept the Bible as the Word of God. They don't accept that the Bible is the truth. And yet, the Word of God clearly teaches us not only that its words are inspired and infallible and incorruptible, indeed the Word of God, but the Bible tells us the importance, indeed the necessity, of preparing to meet God. My friend, prepare tonight. If you're not prepared, prepare tonight. Because tomorrow you could be in God's eternity. Tomorrow you could be in God's eternity. We've already made reference that this ship sunk 3 hours 40 minutes. 1 minute everything was well. The next minute they struck the iceberg and the ship began to sink. Indeed, the ship began to sink immediately. There was no hope for the ship. Immediately it struck the iceberg. My friend, sooner or later, death will come to you. That's why you need to prepare for death. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here about this story about the Titanic. Secondly, I want you to notice that the Titanic's crew refused to listen to repeated warnings. The Titanic was warned of the danger ahead. A number of warnings had been sent to warn the Titanic that it was heading into an ice field. But the messages were ignored. In fact, 45 minutes before the Titanic struck the iceberg, a ship called the California had stopped in the ice. It was only 10 miles away from the Titanic. It sent out warnings to all ships in the area, including the Titanic's. And those messages were received by the Titanic. But the crew on board would not listen. I just think about that for a moment. How crazy the situation was. Here we have a ship, and it was heading into an ice field, and there are icebergs around, and this ship signaled warnings and signaled to the Titanic and warned the Titanic about the icebergs. And the captain of the ship was told, and he just said, "Full steam ahead." And no one took the warning on board. No one listened to the warnings. Indeed, they were more interested in getting through to New York to order what the first class passengers were going to get for their breakfast when they arrived in America. And that is a fact that is stated in the history of the sinking of the Titanic. They were more interested in what their breakfast was going to be for the first class passengers than they were about these warnings that were sent out by this other ship. And you know, how many today do not listen to the warnings of God in the gospel? The spiritual lesson here is simple. Sinners today fail to heed the warnings of the gospel. Despite repeated warnings, many refuse to flee to Christ for refuge from the storm of God's judgment day. And just as the crew and the captain of the Titanic refused to heed the warnings that there were icebergs ahead, that there was danger ahead, so sinners today refuse to heed the warnings of God's precious word. And of course we see this over and over and over again. And not only when we're preaching, but when we're speaking to people about their soul and about eternity and about the plain teaching of God's precious word, men and women today will just not listen to the warnings. My friend, are you here tonight? You're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. And you've heard the gospel many times before. And yet, you have never heeded the warnings. Well, we have read some of the warnings tonight. Take a look again at them in Job chapter 36 verse 18. Here's the warning. The warning signal. Because there is wrath. Right, many people don't believe in the wrath of God, but here we have it in black and white. Because there is wrath. The wrath of God is a fact. The judgment of God is a fact. And here, Job, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, "Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee." Look at Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." That's a warning. Look at Proverbs 29 verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved. We're not told how many times the Titanic was warned, but certainly she was warned a number of times in different occasions. My friend, how many times have you been warned? Warned to prepare to meet God. Warned about the danger that is ahead of you if you neglect God's so great salvation. Men and women, there is danger ahead, and you need to prepare for that danger. And the only way you can prepare for that danger ahead is by fleeing to Christ for salvation. And we'll be saying more about that just in a moment. But the Word of God is full of warnings. And you have heard the gospel preached time and time again. And yet, you neglect to heed the warnings. You go on as if there's no danger ahead. Just like the Titanic. You go on as if there's no icebergs in front of you. You go on as if there's no danger. But my friend, there is danger. There is danger. And as the hymn writer penned it, there's danger and death in delay. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you know you need to be saved, and you know you need to walk with God, but you say there's always tomorrow to walk with God. There's always tomorrow to make peace with God. There's always next week to get right with God. Well, as our text says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And the truth is that our circumstances can change in a moment. Not alone a day. Not one of us know whether we'll be here next Sunday. Not one of us know whether we'll be walking upon this earth this time tomorrow. That's why the Bible emphasizes the importance of making your peace with God now. Today, if ye hear his voice. Today, if ye hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Therefore, when you hear the warnings, when the gospel goes forth, and when the message of the gospel is sounded forth, that is the time to respond positively to your soul's salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. My friend, I would impress upon your heart the urgency of getting right with God now, for you don't know what tomorrow may bring. When these warnings came to the Titanic, they were literally just hours from hitting the iceberg. Indeed, 45 minutes, they received warning that there was icebergs ahead. 45 minutes. And you know, if they had slowed down and started to look in front of them, there would have been no collision with the iceberg. There would have been no sinking of the ship. All it took was a slowing down. All it took was a heeding of the warning. And my friend, it's the same with you as far as the gospel and salvation is concerned. Just heed the warning. Heed God's warnings to your heart. Maybe someone has given you a gospel tract. That's a warning. Maybe a mother has spoken a word in your ear concerning the gospel. That's a warning. Certainly people have prayed for you and have said to you, we're praying for you. That's a warning. That's the Lord speaking to you. And that's why if the Lord is speaking tonight, and I believe he is speaking tonight, because whenever his word goes forth, his word shall not return unto him void. God will speak, and he speaks clearly through his precious truth. He wants you to come and put your faith and trust in his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, if you do that tonight, you will be saved from the wrath which is to come. That was the message of John the Baptist. He said, flee from the wrath which is to come. Now, when John preached that message, there was no sign of wrath. There was no sign of wrath. But John the Baptist knew that the day would come when the judgment of God would fall upon Jerusalem and upon Israel and upon this world. And my friend, it will come. And the message is still the same, because God's word is still the same. And the message is simple: flee. Turn away from the wrath which is to come. Get right with God. Come to Christ. Trust Him alone as your own and personal Redeemer. Something else I want you to notice about the Titanic. Only a few escaped the destruction of the Titanic. Now, we give you some numbers there. 2,228 passengers and crew on board the Titanic when it sank. When it struck the iceberg, rather. Only 705 passengers survived. Now, depending what facts you look up and read, there's some say that there were more than 705. Some say that there were less than 705. But there were around 700 survivors. The main reason for this fact that there was only little over 700 survived was because there was not enough lifeboats on the Titanic. There was only around 20 lifeboats on board the Titanic, less than half that were needed to accommodate all on board the ship. Now, the reason why there was only 20 lifeboats is twofold. First of all, because they thought the Titanic was unsinkable. Therefore, they did not need the lifeboats. If a ship's unsinkable, if it's incapable of sinking, then you don't need lifeboats. Why would you need lifeboats? And that's why there was only 20 lifeboats on board. But there's another reason why there was only 20 lifeboats on board. Secondly, too many lifeboats spoilt the look of the ship and prohibited the first class passengers from moving around the ship freely. So it was thought less lifeboats would give the rich first class passengers more freedom to enjoy themselves. And that's a fact. That's one of the reasons why they didn't put the right number of lifeboats on the ship. Because of the lack of lifeboats, however, only 700 people or 705 people were saved. Friend, everything that could have went wrong that day went wrong. All because of man's folly. All those in the lifeboats, by the way, were saved. But the sad thing was this, that those 20 or so lifeboats, they weren't all filled with people. Indeed, some of the lifeboats were lowered down from the Titanic before she sank, only half filled. Those lifeboats could have saved over 1,100 people. But panic struck in. Not only panic with the passengers, but panic with the crew. Just think about it. This ship is sinking. The word has come through. This ship is not going to survive more than 3 hours. All of a sudden, everyone realized that the unsinkable ship was going to sink, and panic set in. Therefore, when the lifeboats weren't even filled with people, when they're only half filled, they started to lower them. What a sad situation. My friend, the Bible speaks about few being saved by God's grace. I know what we're all familiar with Matthew chapter 7, but let me read it to you. Those of you perhaps who are not familiar with it. Matthew 7 verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I think those are some of the most solemn words in the Bible. Few there be that find it. There's going to be few who are saved, truly saved, by the grace of God. I'm sure that you are familiar with the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 got into the marriage supper and 5 were shut out. The 5 that went in to the marriage supper had oil in their lamps. The 5 that were shut out had no oil in their lamps. Oil speaking of the Holy Spirit and speaking of salvation. But something you've got to understand about the parable of the 10 virgins, that's representing those who come to church, those who are under the sound of the gospel. The 10 virgins. So, forgetting about the people outside the church, outside the evangelical preaching. Forget about those who are in the world tonight, the atheists and the agnostics, those who don't want anything to do with the gospel. Just considering those who come to church every week, those who come under the sound of the gospel every week, according to the Lord Jesus, half of them is going to be saved and half of them is going to be lost. You see, the only difference between the 5 foolish and the 5 wise was this. 5 wise had oil in their lamps. In every other respect, they were the same. They looked the same. They acted the same. They had lamps. They trimmed their lamps. They went out to meet the bridegroom representing Christ. So they all believed that the bridegroom was coming. And they all believed and expected to get into the marriage supper of the Lamb. But when the bridegroom came, 5 went in and 5 were shut out. And those that were shut out never got in. My friend, are you sure that you're going to go to heaven when Jesus comes again? Are you sure that you're saved? Few there be that find it. And it's possible to look like a Christian and dress like a Christian and act like a Christian and say that you're a Christian and believe what the Bible teaches. But it's the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Because if the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you, then your life will be changed. You will have a desire to walk with God and want to walk with God and want to serve the Lord. You will want to be in the prayer meeting and you will want to go on with God and you will want to read your Bible and you will want to pray and you will want Jesus Christ to come again and you'll be looking forward to that time when the Savior comes. Few there be that find it. That's why the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. You say you're saved tonight. Is there enough evidence to convince a jury that you're saved? You know, before anybody can be tried and found guilty, the evidence has got to come forth. My friend, if you were standing trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to condemn you as a Christian, to prove that you were a Christian? Would there be? Oh, make your calling and election sure. Few there be that find it. The lifeboat of salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In John 10 and the verse 7, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pastures. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, thank God tonight. There's one who can save us and there's one who will save us. And he is the captain of our souls. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a foolish captain like Captain Smith. He knows the danger ahead. And he has provided eternal salvation for the danger ahead. We found out this morning,
He died on the cross. That's why he shed his precious blood on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow. And thank God all those who are in Christ are safe from the storm of judgment that someday will fall upon this world. But he has provided eternal redemption for the few who come and accept him as their own and personal Savior. Few there be that find it. My friend, are you going to find it tonight? Going to find salvation? Going to seek the Lord? You know, if you're not saved, I wouldn't stand in your shoes for all the millions of this world. I wouldn't. I wouldn't take anything in this world to be in your position. And if I was you tonight, I would seek this salvation until I had found it. I wouldn't leave this place tonight until I had made my peace with God. Until I knew that I was ready for the great eternity. But people drift on. People drift on. Don't drift on. But come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. There's a lovely story in connection with the Titanic, and I've told it before. But for the benefit of those who have never heard it, let me just repeat it tonight. When the Titanic sunk in 1912, there was a Baptist minister on board the Titanic. His name was John Harper. John Harper was going to America for a series of revival meetings in the Moody Church. And along with him was his niece, or his daughter, and his sister-in-law. And of course, when the Titanic struck the iceberg, he made sure that his daughter and his sister-in-law were safe in one of the lifeboats. And then he eventually went down with the Titanic. But he ended up in the water, and of course there were hundreds of people in the water. And it didn't take them too long to die because of the icy conditions. And that's why they died so quickly after they went into the water. But the story goes that John Harper, as he was dying, he witnessed to those around him. And there was one man that he led to the Lord just before he died in the water. And this man gives testimony 4 years later in Glasgow how he was in the water dying. And this Baptist minister, John Harper, came along and said to him, "Are you saved?" And the man says, "No, I'm not saved." John Harper says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he repeated that a number of times. And of course, that man who got saved was eventually rescued, because some of the lifeboats that were only half filled after the Titanic went down, they decided to come back to see could they find survivors that were in the water. And some of the ones in the water were eventually saved. And that man was saved. John Harper died. And he testified that he was John Harper's last convert before he died. You know, child of God, there's a great lesson, spiritual lesson there for us. Eternity's coming. And I believe that the second coming of Christ is near at hand. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We need to recognize the danger that men and women are in. They're not sinking to the bottom of the ocean. They're sinking down into the pit of hell itself. Our loved ones, our families, our neighbours, our workmates, those that we come into contact with every day, they're sinking down into hell. And there's no one to tell them. And if we don't tell them, then they'll never hear of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. And that's why it is so important in these days to preach Christ and Him crucified, to be up and doing. We need a burden and we need an urgency, for the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, I pray that the Lord tonight would save the lost. Sinner, that you would see your danger of going out into a lost eternity and flee to Christ tonight. Child of God, that you and I would realize that we have only one life. It'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Now, obviously John Harper knew he was going to die. He knew it only a matter of minutes to live. 20 minutes, half an hour in the cold, icy waters to live. If you knew tonight that you had only an hour to live, a half an hour to live, what would you do, child of God, with that half an hour? Now, isn't that a challenging question? And I ask that question to my own heart. If someone was to tell us we had only a day to live, how do we know we may only have a day to live? Because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. How would we spend that day? Would we spend it running after the things of the world? Would we spend it running after the affairs of this life? Or would we spend it running to our loved ones and our friends and telling them of Jesus, the mighty to save? Oh, what a challenge it is to our hearts. May God bless His word this night. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee tonight. And we praise Thee for the precious word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, for these warnings. These warnings from Thy precious truth. And oh God, we pray that You would come, Lord. And, O God, that You would work in hearts. We pray, Lord, for those who are not saved, Lord, first of all, that You would show them that their souls are in danger of hitting the iceberg of God's judgment day, the iceberg of death plunging out into eternity. And, O God, those of us who are saved, that we might spend our time wisely. That we might spend our time pointing men to Christ. At least endeavouring to point men to Christ. We know, Lord, that we live in a day when men don't want to hear. They have no time. But, O God, we thank You, You can make them hear. Even that man who was dying. How, Lord, he could get saved, crying unto God for mercy and testify years later of how I was saved after plunging into the icy water off the Titanic. Oh God, help us. Help us to realize, Lord, that we're not invincible. But oh God, help us to realize that we're only but mere mortals. And help us to realize that someday we'll have to stand before the Creator of all, the mighty God of heaven. Bless Your word and bless these simple gospel truths to all of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. It's hymn number 236. Out of Christ without a Saviour, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea, oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without Thee dares to die? My friend, maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Make sure tonight, if you want to be saved, we're here as God's servant. We can open up the Bible and show you more clearly how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. But come to Christ tonight. Let's stand and sing this hymn, and let's think of the words as we sing them. 236. Amen. That's all stand.
Without a Saviour, oh, can it guide?
Father in heaven, we thank thee that there's hope in Christ, that there's salvation in the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We thank thee that there's a refuge found in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. We pray, Lord, that sinners will flee to that refuge. O God, this night, bless your word to every heart. Separate us now in your love. Until we meet again in your will, keep your hand upon us. Bring us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.